Hi, my name's Peg. I'm a compulsive eater. Okay, so Brandon said you've got 11 minutes. That's a punishment. And so spend very little time qualifying. I am 74 years old. I've been a compulsive eater since I was born. Putting 74 years into 3 minutes is really a challenge, so you're going to help me by not clapping for anything I say. I really appreciate it, especially, but my ego does not need more clapping. Okay, so I'm going to start, however, with the belief that still persists for me. The idea that somehow, someday, she will control and enjoy her drinking, in my case, eating, is the great obsession of every abnormal drinker addict. The persistence of this illusion is astonishing. Many pursue it into the gates of insanity or death. Yes, sir, I was on my way. So I first came to OA in 1979. I was ordered into OA in my incest group. They said they were going to kick me out if I didn't go to OA. Now, I was kind of a victim in my incest group, and now they were going to victimize me more by kicking me out, but I needed it. I needed to do the work. I've done the work. I feel relieved of it. So I went to OA, but I went under somebody else's order. And I would pray to be willing, to be willing, to be willing, to be willing. I would just, and then pray once more to be willing, to be willing, to be willing, to be willing. And I would get a few days of abstinence, and then I'd get up and tell my story, and then I'd go out and binge. And I did that sort of thing on and off for the better part of 25 years. My problem was is that every time I picked up the food, and knew I'd picked up the food, admitted it to myself, I left. People would say, stay in the chairs, you know, keep your butt in the chairs, everything will be okay. I couldn't take the cognitive dissonance. I couldn't take sitting in those chairs knowing that I was just waiting for the meeting to end so that I could go over to Lake Winds and pick up all the sugar-free desserts they had. I'm going to try that one. I think I'll take six more for my guests tomorrow. That I'd do that after my Monday night meeting. So I would get some weight loss, I would get some time, and I'd pick up and I'd leave, and I'd pick up and I'd leave, and I'd pick up and I'd leave. So OA doesn't work. That's an easy conclusion. And I would say that to people, and I would say, only those who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves, but I didn't do that with honest with themselves, I was constitutionally incapable. I didn't follow the part about dishonest. So I was one of those who could not be cured. All right. So by the time I was 54 years old, I weighed 320 pounds, was on 14 medications. And every night as I finished my 6 quarts of popcorn and up to 2 pints of Häagen-Dazs ice cream, I would wish that I wouldn't wake up the next day. I knew I wouldn't suicide, I just didn't want to wake up. And I knew that Hal had come to town. And those loonies were not going to get my attention. Now, there are two types of people who thrive in a structured program. Those who love structure, Rosemary F. thrives on structure. And those who despise structure, that's me. I despise structure. People say to me, I could never do that. I could never make through. I don't still have the kind of willpower. I said, what kind of willpower do you think I had at 320 pounds? I didn't have willpower. I got taught discipline. I still don't have willpower, but I do have discipline, thanks to the structure of having to do things the way I don't want to do them. To this day, if I didn't have to make 3 phone calls a day, that'd be fine with me. Find meetings a little repetitive and boring. I do love my morning prayer meditation, but I didn't. And as a matter of fact, in 2016, after being in Europe for 4 weeks and having just a fantastic time without weighing and measuring and whatever, staying abstinent, no doubt in my mind, I fell to the obsession that somehow, someday, everyone would control and enjoy your eating, decided I could just go back to OA and not have all that structure. So I did. I went to OA for months. I made sure I found meetings where there wasn't a lot of abstinence until I was having a really hard time, and then I went to a meeting where there was a lot of it. I see some people in this room who had that, and I found a sponsor, and I didn't call her every day, and I didn't send my food, and I didn't call other people, and I sometimes didn't make the meeting. And pretty soon, I was headed, we need milk. I'll run and get it to the grocery store, and at the same time, pull the peanuts out of the bin, eat the popcorn. One day my partner came home. I'd always eat popcorn out of a bag because it doesn't smell. And I'd do it when she wasn't there. I'd never snuck eaten in my life. I was proud. Nobody was going to make fun of me. Kathy's passing around my pictures. Every picture has me eating food. I didn't do it secretly. I did it publicly. All of a sudden, I was doing it secretly because I didn't want anybody to know that I wasn't succeeding. And one day she came home, I was sitting in my chair, and she said, "You missed a piece." Oh. Busted, just busted. She'd stay up late at night and say, "Hey, don't bother staying, I can stay up much later than you can. I can stay up all night if I'm looking for food." Nothing. And I said to her, who doesn't have an addict's bone in her body, to my knowledge, "You can wish as much as you want to do what you can to support me. But do you know what? At any point, I'm going to tell you what your problem is. You're either a persecutor or an enabler. And I'll tell you which one it is on any given day. What I know is that eventually, I will be sitting across the table from you, and I won't really see you. I'll be looking right through you to the food. And you'll say, what happened to this otherwise wonderful relationship?" So I know it's annoying, very supportive she is. I know it's annoying when the phone rings right at 6:10 and we're in the middle of dinner, but my life depends on it.
Yeah.
And so does theirs. It's a food change, and I take it. So here's the deal. I went way past my 3 minutes, I know. So food is fuel. It's not my friend. I can't quite buy that. The point, it's not my lover.
Yeah.
That's the difference for me. I love my food. I'm a great cook. I'm absolutely proud of it. I did gourmet cooking for years. I took all that skill set into making abstinent food. I learned that sugar and butter, which are ingredients in 90% of all the recipes you find, are rarely necessary in making a great meal. And so when the recipe says, you know, a pound of rice and 3 ounces of chicken, I say, no. 3 ounces of chicken, 3 ounces of rice, put it together, what have you got? Delicious meal. So I love to cook and I love to eat. But I love that there's no monkey chatter in between.
Yes.
And that's the big difference. I came into those rooms that first night. They gave me a reading just like they did Sue and told me all the good reasons I wanted to do it. And when I got to the, "We are like men and women who have lost their legs. They never grow new ones," I could not stop the tears. I thought I was absolutely incapable of making this work. But my sponsor wrote down what I was going to eat the next day, and I got up and I ate it. And I went to bed that night, and I wrote, after playing Pop It for 2.5 hours, on the computer, I wrote, "I don't know how to explain this, but I plan to get up and call her on time tomorrow, and I plan to eat that food." And then I said, "God," no idea who God was, except didn't much like God. "God saved me from myself. So I love what you just said about God willing. God's always willing. It ain't God's problem. The food is my problem. So it isn't God willing I'm abstinent. It's am I willing? And I'm willing because I have a life today that is so very free. I love my food. I joke about my food. At night, my friend and my partner and I take turns making meta, and she'll make, you know, I'll make meta and serve it and metabolic, my evening snack, and then finish eating and say, Polly, can you make meta tonight? No, I'll make it tomorrow night though. You know, I mean, it's not that every time I finish eating, I wish, oh boy, I'm sure glad that's over. No, every time I eat, I enjoy what I'm eating. I love my food. It's delicious, it's nutritious, it is abstinent food. But I love the hours between 8 and noon, and noon and 6, and 6 and 10, when I don't even think about it. Yeah. And we figure out how it is that works for us. It's not the same for everybody. I got that plan from a nutritionist. I discussed very carefully with my sponsor where my triggers are. So I'm standing here, stop. You know, if you're in how you stop when it says stop, bye.